Mary has been beloved by men and women for 2,000 years. Liz Curtis Higgs, what is it about her story that speaks so clearly to us?
Well, I think in a way that Mary is who we all long to be, spiritually speaking. She's humble, meek, with a true servant's heart. She's courageous, too. I think it's hard for us to grasp how risky it was for her to be pregnant before she and Joseph were married. See, Joseph had the right to accuse her of adultery. He knew it wasn't his child. I think he cared so much for her that he chose to divorce her quietly rather than accuse her of adultery. That also brought risk on him, because then everybody could say, well, I didn't accuse her because he slept with her before he should have. See, there was a lot going on here that we don't always think about in the Christmas story. You might ask, well, why didn't God then choose a woman who wasn't already betrothed to someone? That seems like that would have been easier, except Jesus needed an earthly father. And so the angel appeared to Joseph while he slept, and he said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And so Joseph did. Still, Mary couldn't know that that would be the outcome. She simply trusted God. I mean, once she said yes to God, she doesn't look back. I really think that's why we've admired her over the centuries. She had such a pure faith.
You said something a minute ago, that Jesus needed an earthly father, and I don't want to let that pass. He needed a mother. He needed a father. But to think of God needing anything is almost, it goes against the grain. But that's part of the humiliation. That's part of the incarnation, that God, very God, became a baby in human flesh. That is so hard to understand, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes, as you say, God could have done this in so many other ways, but he did it in the most humbling way possible. And he did need an earthly father, not only to raise him, to provide for him, to care for him, but for him to be in this lineage of David.
Yes.
There it is. It's got to come through Joseph. And so God orchestrated all of this from the beginning of time. And oh, to watch it unfold afresh every season is just thrilling.
Take us to that moment when Elizabeth and Mary meet, and Mary does something. She just has to sing. She bursts out into song. What is the significance of the words that she sings?
One thing we have to remember about Mary is she was poor, she was uneducated, and yet when you read the beautiful words of what we call the Magnificat, pouring out of her heart what seems spontaneous, I don't think she, on that long trip from Nazareth down to where Elizabeth lived, Ein Kerem, it took her about 10 days, by the way, 10 days. I don't think she was composing this song on the way. I think it burst forth from her, and the elevated language and the very big global kind of concepts that she sings about make it really clear these aren't her words. This is really the Holy Spirit bursting forth through Mary. Her song includes more than a dozen Old Testament passages, mostly from Psalms. Now, clearly she would have known the songs of her people, but the way this is woven together on the spot by a girl who was, and remember this, she was 12 to 12 and a half years old when she was betrothed to Joseph. So young to speak these words, we know they come directly from the Holy Spirit pouring out of her. It's just thrilling.
Yeah. And here are two women then who experience the intervention of a holy God into their lives. What does that say to us, for others who want a touch from God?
Well, it's such a good question, because it really gets to the heart of the matter. God asks all of us, really, young, old, men, women, to put our faith and our trust and our hope in him above all things. Mary's own son told his followers, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And that's what we see in the lives of Elizabeth and Mary in particular, and Anna in a moment. They wanted to be wives and mothers, but first and foremost, they wanted to serve God. So, you know, even as we wait for that touch from God, that answer to our prayers, that intervention, he asks us to see that he's already at work in our lives, that what we're living through right now really is part of his plan, and this is the hard part, Chris, it's for our good. It's so hard when it's not a good thing to see it as good for us. But God is not, He is far too loving, far too generous, to stand back and let us struggle for no good reason. It always has a good reason. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you're waiting for a touch from God, His arms are already around you.
Hmm. After Jesus was born, then Mary and Joseph presented the child in the temple, and they met this man named Simeon. Now, Simeon said something to Mary, and his words affected her really the rest of her life.
Yeah, and here's what I want to make sure we get about Simeon, why he's so special, why his words would be so trustworthy. In three verses about Simeon, the Holy Spirit is mentioned three times. It's kind of amazing. Hmm. We're told the Holy Spirit was on him, and the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. And then Simeon was moved by the Spirit to go into the temple. So clearly, 1, 2, 3, we're supposed to get this. This is not Simeon's work. It's the work of the Holy Spirit through him. So given all that, I really do want to hear what this man has to say to Mary. And what he said, honestly, was good news and bad news. This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall. Uh-oh. Mary's trying to ruminate on that one a second. So he's a troublemaker, is what it sounds like. Your boy is going to be a troublemaker. And then he says, but he will be a joy to many others. So, wow, trouble to some, joy to others. Simeon also says he's been sent as a sign from God. Well, that's wonderful news. But then right away he says, but many will oppose him. Oh, dear. Imagine as a mother holding your child in your arms. Actually, by this point, Simeon is holding the baby. And speaking these truths, well, for those who are seeking after God, his son Jesus is the best news in town. But for those who hate God or hate the people of God, Jesus reminds his followers, do not suppose I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. It's a hard message, I know, especially at Christmas time. But apparently Mary needed that reminder, and we do too. And Simeon went on to say, as a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Jesus definitely pierces our hearts with this truth. Then Simeon says to Mary, and a sword will pierce your very soul. So she's holding this baby as a new mother. And Good Friday is already on the horizon. That's, I think, what Simeon's getting at here. And for us, the Christmas season really is a preparation for the Easter season to come. Jesus came to die for our sins. The people of God didn't fully understand that yet, but of all the people who would watch him hang on the cross, surely it was hardest on Mary. The scene reminds me of how much God loves us. He sent his son knowing that he would suffer and how much that love would cost him. It's overwhelming, really. And yet I love how God does not end this Christmas story with sorrow, but with hope. We have one more woman of Christmas to meet, and she is all about good news.
Well, let's hear about her. Her name is Anna. She's a prophetess. When Anna first sees Jesus then in the temple, her response is different from Simeon's. What can we learn from that?
Well, it's interesting about Anna. First of all, she's a prophetess. Not many of those in the Bible. She's also a daughter of the family of Penuel, which means face of God. And I think that's what people must have seen when they looked at her, because she does make the temple her home. And she did fast and pray, just like Paul talked about, day and night. And then when she sees the Christ child, I love picturing the scene. Okay, we have Simeon holding the baby in his arms and speaking directly to Mary, giving her these hard truths. And Anna sees this and knows it's him. It's the Messiah. And she runs up and she does two things right away. The first thing is she praises God. And it's such a natural for a woman who spends all her time with God to say, thank you, Lord. And then she tells everybody, the Messiah has come. See, Simeon was very focused on Mary. That was his role. He did it exactly right. But Anna's role as a prophetess is to put the word out, the Savior has come. I believe really God calls us all to do the same, to praise him openly, speak his truth to all who want to hear it. Since we can't know who those people are, right? The best thing to do is just tell everybody, put it out there.
Oh, I love that thought, especially at this time of year when it seems like many are ready. You know, they're more open to hearing what you have to say about Christ. What do these three women have in common then as you look at them, Liz?
I just got an email from a reader who said, I didn't realize how powerful these women were, strong in courage and even stronger in their faith. Well, yeah, that's it exactly. I think the women of Christmas are also willing to be different, to worry more about pleasing God than pleasing people. They were risk takers. All three of them were risk takers. They went out on a limb for God, you know. They not only gave him their whole hearts, they really gave him their whole lives and looked for a way to tell others about him. Well, that's what I see in Elizabeth, Mary, and Anna. They aren't perfect women, but they were incredible women. They were chosen by God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and different ages. I think I just love that in this story, God gives us three very different women. We don't know how old Elizabeth was. Her husband said that she was very old, but we aren't given an age. I'm grateful for that. Thank you, Zechariah. But we can assume she's midlife. She's past the childbearing ages. Mary, of course, very young. And then Anna, very old. So God covers the spectrum of women, really of men too, of course. And all different stories to tell, but they're all focused on that same Christ child. Just learned so much, I think, from them coming to this with their different backgrounds, with their different stories, but all about the same Jesus. Mm.
Liz, I love your passion for God's word, the love that he's poured out in you and is working in you and through you. Thanks for being with us today.
Total joy. Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas.
We hope you've enjoyed our program today. You can learn more about Liz at LizCurtisHiggs.com. That's LizCurtisHiggs.com. Today's program was written and produced by Westar Media Group and is presented by Waterbrook Multnomah Publishing Group at WaterbrookMultnomah.com. Thanks for listening.